Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Before I forget, anybody wants to reach me, you certainly may. I try to respond to all the emails, unless they're just really nasty. Well, no, I still respond to those too. Actually, RedSkyRadio, 777 at gmail.com. RedSkyRadio, 777 at gmail.com. Well, I'm going to finally get to a story today that I actually promised to do 2 weeks ago, and it kept getting bumped by other things that needed to be discussed. But today is a proper day for it because it's timed with a particularly good event, and they attach. A little more on that a little farther down the program, but I do promise to start with some good news, and I do have some for you. And here we go. First and foremost, this is really good. Part of the big, beautiful bill, which reduced funding to planned non-parenthood, has forced five Planned Parenthood clinics to close in Northern California. Five of them. Now, that's five out of I don't know how many, but you got to start somewhere. So I'm thinking about all the innocent children that have been saved here by, indirectly, Donald Trump. And all the children that are dead because of Barack Obama and Joe Biden. All the fentanyl deaths and the pushing the abortion stuff. There's just nothing but death. Well, you know what? This is a good news portion. I gotta save that for later. Yeah, I do. But anyway, good news. Five abortion clinics in Northern California has closed. Next, I think this is almost funny that the European Union, which Trump exacted huge trade deal with, and concessions to buy American energy, $750 billion of American energy, and the tariffs and everything. After Trump left, the EU leaders looked around and said, we just got rolled by Trump. We just got rolled. It's like they're sort of openly admitting that they don't know what happened to them in this deal. And Trump was there, yeah, to do what he does best, cutting these trade deals, and he's darn good at it. But that wasn't really the first thing he talked about. The thing he said he was more concerned about was the survival of Europe, which he said you just got to stop the immigration, or you can kiss it goodbye. Same thing for here, because Barack Obama, jackass that he is, and I hope he gets prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for treason, along with Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden and all those that are complicit with letting in millions and millions of illegals to do what? To fundamentally transform this country into a third world country, with which Barack Obama apparently feels a little more revered in, because he gets to be the grand poopah of, well, you know what? Forget him. He isn't worth talking about. I don't know why I'm spending my time on him. But I want to say something here. I got to fit it in here. It's not bad news that I'm attaching to good news. It's just a comment. So much money has been raised through the tariffs. I mean, it's billions. But And we are having we just finished our second month in a row of a surplus in this country. A surplus? Who's ever heard of that? Hardly in my lifetime, it seems like. I don't remember having a surplus of funds. But sadly, this comes from some of the Republicans. Certainly not. They're giddy over this. And there is talk about a rebate to the American people from some of the profits from the tariffs. This is idiotic. I'm going to tell you, I think it's idiotic. We have a $5 trillion deficit. And finally, we have two good months where that we're in the black. Two good months. And we want to ship some of it back to the people. No, the way you do the people a favor is to pay down the federal debt. Let's suppose you had a debt of $500,000 of all sorts of things. Pick a number. Really doesn't matter. And you find a lottery ticket in the parking lot. And it's a $10,000 winner, $25,000 winner, whatever it is. Significantly less than the debt that you owe. And you think, well, this is found money. I'm going to go out and buy this, or I'm going to buy that. While you remain $500,000 in debt. Why would we do this and ship a large portion of the tariff money back to the people only to end up in the same debt position? No wonder Elon Musk got ticked off. Look, we're about trying to reduce costs to get out of this debt because there's only a couple of things that will kill you. And I forgot which colonialist said this. You know, it's the sword and debt. They modified later to say taxes, but the fact is you can't tax something that doesn't exist. So I don't get this. I hope they don't do it. Because at the end of Trump's term, they said, look at all the money we raised. Well, the question is, well, look at all the money we gave away. It's stupid. But anyway, moving on, that's not Trump's idea. I should mention that. That is not a Trump idea. He might jump on it like this no tax on home sales legislation suggested or introduced by Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is a horrific piece of legislation. It's horrible. Absolutely dead horrible. And Trump is kind of getting behind it now. I hope he doesn't do that. I think that would just be terrible if he did. But more on that later, and maybe that would be next week or sometime. But the next piece of good news here, we got Thailand and Cambodia. Cambodia agree to a ceasefire. They've had a bloody border battle going on forever over there. And who brings it around? Who brings a ceasefire? I mean, the picture that the mainstream media will not show you, but it's out there, of the leaders smiling and all shaking hands. They got their hands on top of their hands. This is it's sort of like you'll see on a sports team where they put their hands in, but then everybody puts both hands in. It's not a handshake. It's a hand grouping, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word, between Cambodia and Thailand. And who did it? Donald Trump. This is Nobel Peace Prize number 4. I think Trump should have them carved out for 25, 26, 27, and 28. Or just give them 4 of them at one time. That's what he's up to, in my opinion. Okay, there's the good news. So we got this shooter. I only want to mention this for one particular reason. You got the shooter in New York City, the guy who shot and killed 4 other people, then took himself out. Praise God. I'm glad he killed himself. I'm serious. You think, oh, that's harsh. Well, I'm glad he killed himself before he killed others. He had ammo left. He just simply took himself out because he realized he was on the wrong floor. And he got to the wrong floor because he took the wrong elevator. And you've probably been in buildings, I certainly have, where you got one elevator, oftentimes in hotels. One elevator goes to the 20th floor, but there's 30 floors in the hotel, and a different one goes to the 30th floor. He took the wrong one. I guess you could say this guy's elevator didn't run all the way to the top because he didn't get to the NFL. But he had lots of ammo left. That's why I'm glad he took himself out before he took somebody else out. I'm not sorry when police shoot a guy. If he shoot a guy and kill him before he shoots and kills other people, I don't see anything unbiblical about that. People say, well, he never has a chance to come to Jesus. Maybe that's true. But neither would the people who he kills after that moment where you've decided not to shoot. The people he kills thereafter, neither do they have a chance to come to the Lord, and they're innocent, relatively speaking. So CNN, the Communist News Network, never missing an opportunity to totally distort the news, came out and said that the shooter, this Shane Tamura, is, quote, possibly white, end quote. Possibly white. Now, if you forced me to a decision, I would look at him and I'd say he's half black and half Asian, which is pretty much what others say, based on facial skin color, hair, and then if I got to make a decision, that's right. He's not even close to being possibly white. But can you imagine anybody else running an article where the guy is the perpetrator is really obviously a white guy? And then they would say he's possibly Mexican or he's possibly black. Well, I don't know. I guess you wouldn't. I mean, it's sort of like this complete beating of this innocent white couple by a bunch of blacks in Cincinnati, which it's all over the news. The video is horrific. And you got a piece of crap chief of police, some old bag in Cincinnati who's trying to say, well, you got to understand the context. Well, what's the context when people coming up and just punching a big black guy punching, knocking out cold this white woman? She's not even looking. She's just standing there. What context do you need? You don't need any. But it's simply the bias of the media that never can anybody who isn't white be wrong, and never can anybody who's white be innocent, as shown by Shane Tamura is possibly white. Well, what did they just put in there? Shane Tamura is possibly let's call it transgender biracial midget. Well, he obviously is. Well, he might be biracial in the sense of he's Japanese and black, but he's not a midget. We don't know anything whether he's a tranny or not, although the list of trannies, I could do a whole program on all the trannies that are killing people. They're mentally disturbed, demon-possessed, call it what you want. They are totally and royally screwed up. People say, well, Rob, you're a little bit hard. I'll leave you with this, and you can look it up. I'm a polemicist. You look that word up, polemicist, and see if that doesn't describe this program. So, I mean, it can be used for good, it can be used for bad. Probably a libertarian polemicist when you come down to it. But anyway, so Shane Tamura is possibly white. Well, and he's possibly something else. He's possibly Afghan, and he's possibly from Mississippi, and he's possibly whatever. Okay, I got to move along here. 40 Christians killed us last week in Africa. By guess what? Pick the religion that killed them, slaughtered them, and the church. Muslims, Islamists, jihadists, whatever you want to call them. Next one, 200 illegal alien child sex offenders are arrested in 6 months just in one city, Houston. I was reading earlier today about arrested a couple of at Carpinteria and someplace close by California, back where I lived for many, many years in Santa Barbara County, at a marijuana farm, and they listed, they think that this is so bad, and then they listed the 12 that they arrested there, of which I think 10 were Mexican, 2 were Salvadoran, I'm not sure how you say that. And they've been convicted of rape. They've been deported 4 or 5 times. sexual assault on minors. There's a lot of sex assault by Mexicans that have come across the border as illegals. Not to say, I mean, that seem, maybe they're fleeing convictions in other countries. Maybe they're after them. They come here to look for, you know, they're not too concerned about who they rape, white, you know, Hispanic. I don't know of any black girls that have been raped by illegals yet, but I'm sure there have been. Haven't read it in the news. Okay. Look it up, folks. Polemicist. Polemicist. Before you call me a hate guy, just look that up and that'll square things away. We've all heard about Trump derangement syndrome. The Fed seems to have tariff derangement syndrome. There are a lot of syndromes that are completely and totally occupied by those on the left. But this one just blows me away. So Trump came out against corn syrup in Coke and high fructose corn syrup. I think high fructose corn syrup is in there. But anyway, it's corn syrup and I think it's high fructose or both. I've read labels on things that says number two item is high fructose corn syrup and the number four item is corn syrup. Put those two together, 2 + 4, it probably should be the number one item on the item that on the thing that you're buying is sugar. And it's bad for you. I mean, I'm down to chocolate chip cookies and black raspberry jam. Just a couple other things with sugar. Other than that, I've kind of totally kicked my donut fix. And that's going well. But Trump comes out and says, you know what? Get rid of this high fructose corn syrup and the corn syrup and just go back to cane sugar. Now, too much sugar of any kind is bad, but cane sugar appears to be less harmful than high fructose corn syrup. So what does NBC do? In their typical Trump derangement syndrome, NBC is running a defense of corn syrup for only one reason. Trump was against it. No other reason. They're going out there saying, well, that's not really that bad. It's not any worse than what Trump, blah, blah, blah. They're running it's not an investigative story. They've done no research. I mean, that their knee-jerk response came right out after Trump said, let's get rid of the high fructose corn syrup and go back to cane sugar, to which Coca-Cola agreed. This is the essence of Trump derangement syndrome. Pick anything. Let him be for it, the left is against it. Let him be against it, the left is for it. I've said this before, and it's a bit facetious, but I'm kind of halfway there. If Trump went on The View, wouldn't that be something? Trump goes on The View, and which are, except for the nominal conservative, they're all pro-abortion hags. And if he came on there, how do you get rid of abortion in this country? I think the way you would do it is to have Trump come out for it. Now, he won't do that. I don't really want him to do it. Like I said, I'm half facetious here. Come out for it. The left is so fundamentally deranged against anything Trump that they will reflexively say the left would have to become pro-life because Trump is pro-abortion. Well, he really wouldn't be, that's the point I'm trying to make. I don't need to go any further in it than that. But now the left is defending high fructose corn syrup and Coca-Cola because Trump is against it. These are sickos. These are whack jobs. These are the kind of people that you would not want your son or daughter to marry, anybody who thinks like that, works for them, unless they're a mole and they're in there doing undercover work for the right side. My gosh. But the degree to which the left has encouraged violence, subsidized violence, legitimizes violence. You end up with this guy the other day, he comes out, I'm going to bomb the plane. He's on a flight to Scotland because he threatens Trump with death because he's in Scotland. This kind of stuff just keeps going on and on and on. I don't want to do a whole bunch of articles on that. I don't. It's commonplace these days. The left simply cannot handle anything that doesn't go their way, anything that they can't control. Take Gavin Newsom, Mr. Pro-Abort himself. The guy with so much baby blood dripping from his eye teeth, he'd make Count Dracula look pro-life. But he also wants to disarm the American people, as does that left-wing hack job Democratic candidate, Mamdani, for New York mayor, says, we just need to confiscate all the assault rifles. But we're going to define what an assault weapon is. That's what the left is. They actually can't tell you what an assault weapon is. I've asked people on the left, define an assault weapon. Well, it's kind of big, it's black, it looks kind of nasty. It's unautomatic. Well, there aren't automatics out there because they don't know crap diddly about firearms. They're just parroting some left-wing rant. And I'm here to provide your right-wing rant. I'm a polemicist. Look it up. Okay. So Newsom goes ballistic because a California court shot down the bill that California required checks, firearm checks, not for people buying firearms, but background checks on people buying ammunition. Why? You can't kill anybody with just ammunition. You need the gun, I bet. But this is what's going on. This is the slippery evil of this huckster who's in love with himself. I don't know if he spends more time on his podcast than he spends in front of the mirror, but hard to say. But consider the fact that every time you go buy ammunition, see, it's not just one time you take a background check in California to buy ammo. It's every time you buy ammo, you have to have a background check. Every time. Well, this is how it works. You can have guns in California that are not necessarily known by the state, but be legally held. People have had them for a long time. But how do they know what kind of gun you got? Well, Joe Blow here just came in and bought 100 rounds of 38. Well, California now knows you got a 38. Unless you're buying them for somebody else. But every time they shot this down, the court shot it down, said this is unconstitutional. Quote, by subjecting Californians to background checks for all ammunition purchases, California's ammunition background check regime infringes on the fundamental right to keep and bear arms. Because why? Because the right to keep and bear arms is a worthless, hollow right if you can't buy ammo. Pretty basic to me. Well, I would only conclude this piece by saying that the California scheme was sort of like saying, you have a right to own a car, but you don't have a right to drive it. You're prohibited from driving the car that you have a right to own. Yeah, you got a right to own this gun, but you don't have the right to get the ammo to actually be able to use it without something where they get to spy on you. Okay. I don't want to touch on this Mamdani guy because in some respects I don't give a rat's rear end about New York. New York gets what it has chosen. You get the government you deserve. Maybe they deserve Mamdani, but this tells you what happens when you let illegals vote in elections at the local level. The town is filled with Muslims. I mean, you go back to 9/11, you got all those Muslims cheering the destruction of the World Trade Center, watching on the other side of the river from New Jersey. There's some good Muslims, sort of. But you know where they're going to be once their brethren take over. They're going to be on that side. And you got Mamdani, who is absolutely a Muslim here. So what do you have here the other day? You've got a bunch of Muslims driving luxury cars down the road in New York chanting, globalize the Intifada. The Intifada is a rebellion, an uprising against, which means, which we know means we want everybody in the world to hate Jews and want to get rid of Israel, kill Jews, and while you're at it, take out the Christians too. But that's not an official part of the Intifada, but we know from the Quran and those who are glued to that false prophecy, false prophet, and false religion, that the word infidel describes Jews and Christians. So that's what they're chanting here in the good old USA, globalize the Intifada. You're going to need to be armed. Might as well just deal with it. Get it while you can. Don't buy your ammo in California. Well, wait a second. Now you can. Without that, because the court struck it down and Newsom is beside himself. I love Newsom just losing one battle after another. On this case and over the National Guard in L.A. and not getting the aid, what, $100 million raised for the fires in Southern California by charitable organizations? And have they seen any of it in building? No. Basically, it's going to organizations and to lawyers. How about that? Yeah, well, as an attorney, I despise cases where the lawyer gets paid more than the client. Trust me, I really do. And if that ever approaches that, I reduce my fees. So did it just the other day in a securities recovery against an organization which will remain nameless. Got a nice recovery, and my fees were peanuts. And I feel great. I feel good about it. Hey, this is just, I'm going to throw this in here real quick, like, before we get to the interesting matters, if you will, that the second half of the program is all going to be devoted to one topic. But I'm going to start with something I promised a couple of weeks ago and didn't get to it. But before the break here, I want to just close out this portion with something. I have never felt comfortable with chemotherapy, the whole concept. It is a poison of sorts, and I guess a poison that kills the enemy is good if it doesn't kill, if there's not death by friendly fire. You're not killing the good stuff along with it. And this study that just came out, this is what difference makes to have who you have at Health and Human Services, RFK Jr. here. The stuff that's coming out, whether it's the dyes, whether it's a sugars, whether whatever it is, chemotherapy alters your DNA. And this study proves and shows that it actually accelerates aging in healthy cells. Now, I think there's probably been people that through chemo have kind of kicked the cancer thing. What long-term damage of another sort, I don't know. I'm not here to criticize that. I'm not taking a position on that. If I had that situation, maybe I would do it, maybe not, but I don't think so. But in the back of my mind, I have always been suspect of overall the legitimate use of chemotherapy. Who really ends up making out on this deal? The oncologists, the drug companies. They make a lot of money. And most of the people still die. Yeah, for certain kinds, the chemo helps, since some prostate cancers, earlier stages and things. But it alters the DNA. Sounds sort of like the COVID-19 vaccine, doesn't it? It's absolutely confirmed to accelerate aging. Well, maybe if you're taking it and you're 70 years old and it accelerates aging a little bit, well, you're already, you know, 9/10 of the way to the end zone. But I'm just throwing that out. Epoch Times, you can take a look at under Epoch Health. Read it for yourself, and maybe you find something that will help to advise others. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
These days there's dudes getting facials, manicured, waxed, and Botoxed, with deep spray on tans and creamy lotion-y hands. You can't grip a tackle box. Yeah, with all these men lining up to get lured, it's heading now to be feminized. But I don't highlight my hair, I've still got a pair. Yeah, honey, I'm still a guy. All my eyebrows ain't plucked, there's a gun in my truck. Oh, thank God, I'm still.
Well, okay. Why that song today? Because that song plays right into the entire rest of the program. I said a couple of weeks ago, that 3 weeks ago, that I was going to cover the next week, which was 2 weeks ago, this whole fall of Chip and Joanna Gaines and the HGTV program Fixer Upper. And I didn't get to it because it just kept getting trumped, no pun intended, by other stories that needed to be shared and that were important. But the fact of the matter is, now I got to back up here a little bit because my wife's a big fan of their program. She loves looking at all these things that they have done. And most of the episodes are from almost 10 years ago, 8, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And there was this recurring theme of certain things that they wanted to put in the houses. One of them being shiplap. And my wife fell in love with shiplap. Why can't we get shiplap? Well, my father had a lumber yard and a coal yard. And on the days that I drew the short straw, I got the coal yard. The better days, I got the lumber yard. But we sold shiplap, sold a lot of shiplap. And why did we sell a lot of shiplap? Because it was cheap. It was about the cheapest wood out there. And I'm working on a small little office, and my son's actually doing the work for me. And I said, check on the price of shiplap. He said, it's gone through the roof, Dad. I can do other stuff here that's going to look really nice at a fraction of the cost. I said, well, have at it, son. Son after my own heart. Just as good a job at a fraction of the cost. Magic words. Well, they, out of Waco, Texas, their program has expanded. They're mega millionaires, if not billionaires. They own half of Waco. And there's a very righteous sense about them in these old programs. I mean, they are congenial. They're kind of charismatic. They're funny. I give them all of that. And every couple that they were redoing a home for were married heterosexuals. Everyone. No shack ups, no queer couples, no queer marriages, all of that garbage. No, they didn't touch it. I don't know, and they went to a church, or I don't know if they still go to the same church, Antioch Community Church or something, and which was, they had a pastor who was very, very pro heterosexual marriage, biblical marriage. And so they took a lot of criticism for it. And I don't know where they stood personally, where they stood personally on the matter. But I also know that if you're going to start something like this in the town of Waco, you're going to be pretty conservative. You're going to espouse Christian values. I mean, you can have Christians, you can have non-Christians running in Arkansas. Non-Christians that will identify in a political race their association with the church because it's culturally expected. You'll have Christians in California that will refuse to identify an association with the church because they think it hurts their chances of getting elected. Well, I don't know if there's any truth to that, but the three times I ran for political office in California, I never held back on my beliefs, and I lost every single race. So maybe I understand why that happens. But the gains is, something was not quite right in my spirit, but I was not in any position to judge benign behavior. Benign behavior. Everything seemed to be kind of cool, kind of good and funny, and their program and their network and everything has just expanded incredibly. Until they decided, apparently, to hook up with Hollywood. And I'm going to read from Blaze Media here. Owen Anderson gets the credit for this piece. He says, Chip and Joanna Gaines are in hot water, not with the left, but with the same Christian conservative audience that made them household names. So what he's clearly saying here is that this couple are rich and famous because of conservative Christians. And now they've changed. You know, it sort of reminds me of Leanne Rimes. In fact, I had her song Blue, which I like the song. I had it on my Spotify playlist because I'm tired of her hypocrisy. She got wealthy on one song, one country song, written like 40-some years ago. Does a beautiful job, did it as a teenager. And then after she makes a gazillion bucks on it, comes around and says, I don't really like country music and I don't like that song and blah, blah, blah. And now she's all screwed up in Hollywood and so forth. So there they go. So, like I said, they're in hot water with a conservative Christian audience that actually made them the household names. Why? Because of their new reality show, which now fears, I'm quoting, because he says a gay couple, I would say a queer couple, with children, portrayed in the warm country home aesthetic that defines a Gaines brand. It's called Back to the Frontier. Three families. So they got two queer guys with two kids, supposedly twins that they've adopted and all. And I saw about three or four pictures, clips from the thing. I wanted to barf, hurl, puke, Ralph, you pick your verb. But then the backlash hit. And then Chip Gaines comes out because he apparently wants to be liked by the left, what have you. And I want to read his Twitter feed, or on X, I guess it is. And so he launches back at the people who are criticizing, and he says, quote, talk, ask questions, listen, maybe even learn. Too much to ask of modern American Christian culture. Judge first, understand later, or never. It's a sad Sunday when non-believers have never been confronted with hate or vitriol until they're introduced to a modern American Christian. Makes no sense, but it's still disgusting. Wow. This is pretty amazing. First of all, he's saying others are judging him, but his response is to judge others by calling them filled with hate and vitriol, calling them the modern American Christian. Chip, baby, and you're not exactly a chip off the old block. You are the, quote, modern American Christian, quote, end quote, the one who wouldn't recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore. I won't look. If my wife still has it on, I don't even look at the screen. I didn't much other if I'm passing through the TV room. I'm done with them. I got the same feeling about them as I had with Lauren Daigle. You say, oh my gosh, she's great. Well, yeah, until she was on Ellen DeGeneres, and Ellen asked her, do you support gay marriage? And she said, well, here, this is what I think we should do. I think we should all sit down and study the matter so we can see what, see what the Bible really says. Didn't have the guts. A gutless wench. Look, there's a scripture that says, when you falter before the unrighteous, when a supposedly righteous person falls before the unrighteous, you're like a murky spring and a muddy water. Number one, you don't dare to step into it because you can't see the bottom. You don't know if you're stepping into 6 inches of water or 6 feet of water. Number two, you sure can't drink it because it doesn't look good. What it comes down to is the person like Lauren Daigle or like Chip and Joanna Gaines, when they do this, they cross the line for public affection, public attention, money, popularity with the world. And you know what Jesus says about popularity with the world. When you do that, you're no longer trustworthy. That's what that proverb means. Murky water, muddy spring. Can't drink it, can't step in it. You don't touch it because you don't know it anymore. It's not a pure spring that you can drink. It's not a pure spring that you can see bottom when you put your foot in. It's a great passage, and it speaks to this. And so we have the Gaineses here ripping apart the very people that has made him and Joanna incredibly wealthy as he goes over to the dark side and starts to chum around with the sodomites. And, you know, maybe he's got the tent pitched just outside Sodom and Gomorrah. But what comes next? Trannies? You have trannies in there? Chip and Joanna, why don't you have people that commit incest instead of just, why limit it to sodomy? Let's jump to incest. How about pedophilia? How about bestiality? So this is Chip. He seems like a nice guy, amiable guy, pretty charismatic, who doesn't know jack about the Word of God and apparently is not willing to stand up to it. But he says this isn't any big deal. But if it isn't a big deal, then why is Chip intentionally having a queer couple on at all? You see, I liked what one writer said. Framing an issue is never neutral. If you put this next to two legitimate big biblical couples, you've equated all three couples. They're all legitimate. That's all family. No, sorry, Chip, it's not. I want to read this thing here. If it truly isn't a big deal, Chip, why have you intentionally feature a gay couple at all? Reality TV isn't a live stream of Raw America. In other words, what this writer is saying is, it's not reality TV is not reality. It's carefully scripted and edited to send a particular message. And in this case, the message isn't neutral. It deliberately normalizes a version of family life where two men can have children and live as if their union mirrors traditional marriage. But it doesn't, and it can't. The liberal academics at a university like Baylor, which, not coincidentally, recently passed on a major LGBTQ+ grant, let it go, after it got exposed in the press, will ask, what's wrong with visibility? We can't pretend gay couples don't exist. That's what they said. But no one is pretending that. The real question is whether we must affirm, celebrate, and gloss over the serious consequences of a lifestyle in the name of diversity and inclusion, and which I would add is absolutely, strictly, and completely contrary to the scripture, notwithstanding the incredibly lame, mind-dead, brain-dead, reactive, shoot-from-the-hip, knee-jerk, ticked-off response of Chip Gaines. So, it was with considerable, actually, humor. Needless to say, you hear me quote the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee picked up on this right away. They don't miss a thing. And they came out and said, Chip and Joanna Gaines introduced new line of pride-themed shiplap. Hilarious. I mean, I've got a history with ship. Of course, the shiplap back there is the rainbow colors standing behind him. Then they have the little thing with Chip talking, and this is satire. Famed HGTV stars Chip and Joanna Gaines announced today that their Magnolia company would be introducing a line of rainbow shiplap. Now, I got to tell you, there was another one that came out from the Babylon Bee that said, a wife turns to pillar of salt by flipping TV back to the Magnolia Network. I have a 14-year-old granddaughter who picked up on that and thought it was hilarious satire. Biting and hilarious at the same time. Okay, so continue with this satirical piece by the Bee. The beloved couple, whose new reality show features two gay dads and their surrogate kids, wanted to expand their emerging Christian tolerance to their product line. According to Gaines, a shiplap will add just a little bit of gayness to customers' homes while simultaneously assuring visitors that you're not one of those kinds of Christians. Apparently what he called modern American Christian. That's what he's... you heard me say it, all right. It's Homo Day, shouted Chip Gaines as he unveiled the Rainbow Shiplap. Oh man, Homo Day is my favorite day of any project. Time to get out those power tools and just get a little fruity. You know what I'm saying, right? There's nothing like putting on show tunes, busting out of the closet, and throwing up some shiplap. Woo-hoo! The Rainbow Shiplap represents a Gaines' latest efforts to make their company more gay-friendly. We're all in on homos, said Gaines. Simply doing interior decorating wasn't gay enough. We wanted to make sure everyone knew we're past those vaguely Christian background moments in our show. We super love the homo community and hope everyone adds a homo day to their fixer-upper. And I should add, wow, because that's the name of their program, fixer-upper. One other Babylon Bee piece, man, and they nailed it. Chip and Joanna Gaines launched a new program where they're going to fix up the Bible. At publishing time, residents of Waco had reported that someone around town kept shouting Homo Day repeatedly, presumably Chip Gaines. Now, we're going to go here into something else that is really critical here because it's the issue of judgment. I mean, Scripture says, okay, you don't judge, right? Well, it says that in a certain context, a certain context. The context is you cannot judge the thoughts and the mind of a person. You judge their actions. And if you look, Scripture says, judge not lest you be judged. That means you're, and then it goes on to say, judge righteously. Do we not all judge? We have to judge actions. Parents judge the actions of their kids. Teachers judge the actions of the kids in the classroom. Judges judge the action of the defendants in court, as does a jury judge them. We are all over the map in the world of proper judgment as it relates to judging actions, not intents. We draw the intent from the actions, but we don't jump to the intent, or else somebody's going to judge us based on what they think our intent is. You see, motive never has to be proven in a crime. People always ask, well, God, what's the motive? What's the motive? Who cares? Maybe that'll help get you to the intent, but motive is never a required element in a criminal conviction. Why? Because our earliest canonization, if you will, of criminal law in this country recognized that we were not in a position to be able to judge motives, the thoughts, the intents of the heart, except by a person's actions. The person's actions will reveal the intent. So a guy goes in, they've got testimony, a guy goes in and buys a gun. And the guy says, well, you need some ammo? I said, well, I only need a couple of bullets. That's all I really need. And, were you going to go shooting? Well, I'm going to celebrate something with my wife. And you put together all these things, and then, you know, 2 days later, the wife is shot and killed. You string all these things, and what are they? How do you get to the intent? By all of the provable actions. We're commanded to judge actions. But Chippy Baby here thinks that somehow he can throw up this defense of don't judge me, which takes me to the teaching point that actually comes from the Babylon Bee. These guys are just killer on this particular topic. Have you ever wanted to put those pesky Christians in their place? Better yet, are you a person who claims to be a Christian? And this is a companion to the Gaines piece. But you want to just live however you want without any accountability or correction from other Christians? An amazing new life hack could do the trick. Instead of receiving any rebukes about your poor life choices, you can just do whatever you want. And then when anyone tries to call you out on it, just take Scripture out of context and hit them with the old judge not speech. It's a surefire way to avoid experiencing any conviction about your moral failings. It's a game changer, said one progressive Christian who tried the exciting new hack. Last month, I threw an engagement party for a polyamorous, pansexual throuple I'm friends with. When I posted on social media about it, I got a bunch of comments from these uptight Christians saying I shouldn't be celebrating their lifestyle. I immediately played the judge not card, and it totally worked. Now I can do absolutely anything I want and never have to feel any guilt about it. Thank you, out of context Bible verse. Other users of the method reported success as well. It works like a charm. And another person who never wants to be confronted with her sin said, I was cheating on my wife. Some of my church friends tried to tell me that I shouldn't be doing that. But you know what I did? I hit them with the old judge not speech. What do you think they are? Who do they think they are confronting me about my sinful choices like the Bible tells them to? Whatever. Now I can do whatever I want. Okay. Well, interestingly, the whole passage about don't criticize your brother if you've got a beam in your eye. Get the beam out of your eye first. People stop with that at that part of the passage. But it says then you can proceed to get the beam out of your brother's eye. So all the Bible says there is get rid of the hypocrisy. Then you can take this message, which your brother really, really needs to hear. He just can't hear it from somebody who's hypocritical. And maybe others. More on that, actually, in this week's message from on the Sunday morning program. So how does that fit in with the developments of today? Well, the developments of today, and I'm glad this just came out here, and that deals with Kim Davis, the fight in Kentucky about the woman who got jailed, sued for not performing a queer marriage after the Obergefell queer marriage decision, which is rooted in regressive politics and not Constitution, certainly not the Bible, that's for sure. Well, guess what is happening? It is going back to the Supreme Court to fix the creation, and that's all it was creation. It's not rooted in the Constitution. It's what the leftist lemmings do. They'll use the Constitution when it suits their purposes, and when it doesn't, they'll just go over it like a one-inch speed bump. It hardly throttles a car at all. They got a destination. They're going to get there one way or the other. So Kim Davis, for 10 years ago, she said, "Look, I was not willing to issue a queer marriage license," and she was targeted. No question, queers target righteous people, just like Satan targets righteous people, because that's, you know, who these people are being animated by, the leader of the dark side. And so what are they using as the argument? What are the good guys using here as the argument, which is submitted to the Supreme Court? I hope they pick it up. It's the same thing as in the Dobbs decision. The Dobbs decision, which said that there is no constitutional basis for an absolute right to abortion. And leave it to the states, I guess. That's what they said. It wasn't overruled. It was just that a state doesn't have to do it. Overruled in that sense, but they can go to California and slaughter all the unborn that they want. Gruesome is there waiting for him, and red carpet under abortion tourism. He's there to accommodate the sinful desires of people who want to murder the innocent unborn in their womb. They're using the same arguments from Dobbs, in this case with Kim Davis, to overthrow Obergefell. Now, I got to say, there were leftists, and I don't call them progressives. I only use the word progressive if it's in a quote that I'm quoting. They're regressives. They want to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Going back to Sodom and Gomorrah, how's that progressive? How's going back to baby sacrifice and human sacrifices like abortion? How is that progressive? How is it progressive to take people's arms away, which is what was done historically from Idi Amin to Stalin to Hitler to Castro? How is that progressive? They're all, you see, the word progressive is regressive. But I use that term when I'm quoting. But this is what the regressives, sometimes called progressives, back when Dobbs' decision was issued, feared could happen. They looked at what was said by the court and said, my gosh, our sodomistic marriages might be on life support. And are they? Well, all I know is that handed to the Supreme Court is this case. It's made it to the Supreme Court. Whether they accept it or not, I don't know. They may have, and I don't know about that yet. But it's there. It's there like a, all of a sudden I drew blank on the analogy. It's there waiting for righteous judges to pick it up and correct it. I believe the votes are there, whether they pick it up or not. And of course, the three out of the four women, the three witches of Warwick, on the left that sit on the Supreme Court, they'll be all for, you know, queer marriage, sodomy marriage, you know, blah, 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 blah. They'll be for it. There'll be some that are against it, and there's a few that are in the middle that will be a concern. Ultimately, maybe John Roberts. But you see, you reap what you've sown. And there's a whirlwind coming here that is going to shock the left. And so Chip and Joanna Gaines, I'm going to tell you, you're on the wrong side of history. And I got to stop it there. I've just got to stop. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.